robbers can take. How many of us know that after you left your home, it could be so devastating for the robber to come in and take your valuables, right? But up in heaven, they can't. So I want to preach and teach to you this morning concerning our spiritual inheritance, because it's so important. And many times we don't or we can't get the inheritance because we really don't understand it. Amen? Oh, we have a good understanding of so many of the earthly things that we do that some of us could do it with our eye closed. But when it comes to the spiritual things, it does boggles us. And the only way we could get over that is if we study the word of God to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen? So that's what we're studying this morning. But as you look, let's go in a word of prayer. Father, I come before you and I'm grateful once more to be used by you, God. I surrender everything, spirit, soul, and body, and I say, have your will in my life, Lord. Father, we thank you that you are able, and we thank you that you are the author and you are the finisher of our faith, Lord. Likewise, you are the author and finisher of the word. And your word says that the word will not come back to you void, but it shall accomplish that which pleases you, God. Help us to be pleasing in your sight, Lord. And as your word go forth, Lord God, let it drop on good soil, Lord God, that it will germinate, it will take. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You will then get the blade, and Father God, we'll have fruits, Lord God. And we thank you this morning for every head bowed in your presence, God, as you mold us and shape us, for you are the potter and we are the clay, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. I also want to say thank God for our visitors this morning and our congregation, our visitors. You are truly, truly our honored guests. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to go with to Kings for me a little bit, because you have to know how to cash in. If I write a check for you right now and if it's from Bank of America, you're not going to take it to Chase. And if you take it to Chase, that means the next person has to have some kind of a thing going on with the banks. I want you to understand that. So we have to understand that a lot of people talk about faith. But a faith must have a content. And a content has to be a revelation. And that revelation has to be God. Because if the content of that revelation is not God, I don't care what you believe in. You could believe in, some people believe in the devils too. And that's their God. People believe in earthly possession, and that's their God. So we got to be very careful and mindful of what you believe in. You got to believe in the right thing. If you're going to believe in God, you always going to have a content. And the content is the revelation. And what is the revelation? The revelation is the word of God. Because without the word of God, you have no revelation of who God is. So because you have the revelation of God, now you have an object. And because you have an object, that object have to tie into the revelation of the content. These things ties in together. And if you study this passage as you watch it, Solomon knew who his father was because he came from that man's loins. And he understand and he saw how his father relate to God. And many times symbolically, for us, is where our children going to go, how we lead them. If we have some real godly mothers, what do you think we would have? Some godly children. If we had some real godly fathers, we will have some godly children. But fortunately, most of the time it's one-sided, and I'm not going there because that's not a part of my message. But I just push that in there so you could see where I'm going, because you got to follow me. I'm taking you somewhere. Because it's all going to boil down to inspiration. Because if you don't understand the doctrine of inspiration, you're going to continue to read the Bible until the next 50 years go by, and you're still going to be at the same place because you don't understand inspiration. And many of us, sorrowfully, that we read the Bible, but we can't actually pull out everything that God has already made available for you and I. Because you read it literally just like you read a fiction or a non-fiction or any other book, which there's no comparison to the Bible. Hallelujah. So you got to follow me, amen? I'm going to just give you a short little introductory here about Solomon, because Solomon knew what to ask from God. How many times have you went to God and you asked amiss? No, don't tell me. And the Bible of God says, you ask amiss. He says, and if you ask amiss, you have nothing to get from God. Because you're not asking in God's will. You're asking in your will. Too often, that's why we don't get answers. But look at this young man. Couple passages I'm going to read here, and then we're going to go to where I want to really, really take you. But I need you to see this, because this could be really you and I. Why we have not actually received what God has already foreordained or predestined for you and I. Because Jesus is not going to come back and start something new. Jesus has already done what he's supposed to do for you and I. No, we have not got it, or we have not really walked tangibly in it, because we don't understand how to bring it from the spirit realm into the physical realm. And you have to understand inspiration, because only the inspiration of God could actually make you understand the word of God. But I have to show you that, and I'm going to get there in a little bit. I want you to look at verse 9 in 1 Kings chapter 3. He said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. Thank you, Lord. He says, to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? See, God has already established you somewhere on this earth. And the only way God is listening to hear what you're asking for, because God is hearing, want to hear from you and see if you're going to ask for the right stuff, because he has the right stuff. But he don't want to give it to you if that's not what you want, because if he give it to you, you might still not know how to use it or what to do with it. Now, this is just an assumption here. It's quite possible that you might do the right thing. But David here, if you watch Solomon here, you're seeing Solomon, because Solomon want to know good from bad, bad from good. Because it's so easy to do the bad thing. But for us to do the good thing, we got to make ourselves do it. It's not just going to happen. But the bad thing, almost automatically, it happens. Amen? Oh, thank you, Jesus. And I want to go to verse 11 and watch what God says. And God says unto him, because thou had asked this thing and has not asked thy servant for long life, neither had asked riches for thyself, nor had asked the life of thine enemies, but had asked for thyself understanding to discern. So you see what's the key here now? The key here is to ask for what is God's will. You might say, Pastor, break it down a little bit for me more because I need to know what is understanding. Thank you. Understanding, the capacity to distinguish between true and false, good and bad, what matters most and what does not matter at all. You understand that? That's understanding. And if we could get these things in line, as I continue, if we could get these things in line, it's not that God don't want to bless you. It's not that you have to go begging for God to bless you. It's that God is looking that you say the right thing and you do the right thing. You should have given God an amen there, but that's okay. God, he deserves it, not me. Hallelujah. Watch what verse 12 says. He said, behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart. So the understanding, you already got that. You might say wise. Wise comes from the word wisdom. You want not to have the word wisdom because the word wisdom is your intellect. Is how smart you are. Is how sharp you think you are. But you want God's wisdom. And if you may say, what is God's wisdom? Wisdom, the meaning of God's wisdom is an accurate perception in the true nature of things. I'm going to say that again because you need to grasp this very dearly. Wisdom of God is an accurate perception. In other words, when you move backwards, it's because he said move backwards. When you move sidewards, it's because he said went right. He didn't say go left. Because if you go left, then you already missed there. Thank you, sister. So you got to be very careful. He says, stand and know that I am God. And he said, stand more and know that I am God. See, that's the mistake we don't know sometimes. We don't know that it's God. So we waver, we get jittery, we get jumpy. He says, stand and know that I'm God. Then he says, backward, then you go backward. Don't go forward because you're going wrong. And then listen, he says, don't look left. He said, don't look right. Listen to him. He says, then go right. Then you don't go left because you're going wrong again. Go left because he said left. Then maybe at that point you dare. And then after he says, go forward. No, don't go backward like I did just now. Are you going wrong again? You go forward because he said forward. I think you got that picture. Amen? It is very careful. I'm going to read it again because he said, behold, I have done according to thy word. See, now I have to explain word with inspiration. But I'm going to go to that in a little bit. Amen? Just trying to get you there. He said, lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. I mean, if you study Solomon, they come from across one side of the ocean to the next to meet Solomon. Amen? And I'm not going to sink on Solomon because Solomon was just the introduction of this message. Amen? But I wanted to show you that many times why we can't cash in is because we are not asking for the right thing. Amen? And you see what Solomon did. Solomon did not ask for silver and gold. He did not ask for a palace. He did not ask, not even for a wife. He says, God, give me an understanding heart that I may discern. If we learn to discern, we're going to change this world. Hallelujah. So now I want to take you, because the complete sense of this message is the doctrine of inspiration. Because the word of God was inspired by men. That's why the authority of the word is infallible. There is no error in the word of God. And when we follow the doctrine of inspiration, there will be no error in our life. Oh, you might say, Pastor, you're going too deep. But I got to take you there. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Hallelujah. Take you back a little bit to there. I know we're very familiar with this passage, 2 Timothy 3:16. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to start read, and I'm going to read it, and then we're going to break it down as the Spirit leads. Amen? He says, verse 14 says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing, of whom thou hast learned them. See, earlier I had mentioned about our father and mother. See, if we take the rightful place in where God has already established his people, it's going to be a little bit easier for our children. Because the word of God says, teach them in the way that they should go. That's our duty. We're supposed to teach them. Now, we can't make them, because that's not our duties. Our duty is to teach them in the way that they should go. He says they might depart, but what they will do, they will come back after. Amen? I want you to watch this, because very careful. He said, and that from the child thou has known the Holy Scripture. See, if you start, whatever you implant in a children, you know why some of our kids are so educated? It's because from sometime from the tree, we already got them in school. And sometimes they go to school, what, until the 19, 20, 20-something, nearly 30? That's like 25 years of education, physical education, literal education. Tell me they're not going to be smart. But then what have you input to them in the spirit realm? Well, see, we got to give them both. Nothing wrong with that physical education, that literal education. But we have to educate them spiritually also. Because this world we live in, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, and they are in high places too. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. He said, I'm going to read 15 again before I go to 16. He says, and after, and that from a children thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. I won't stop there, because that's the first step of a million miles. Salvation is your first step to eternity. And eternity is too long to be wrong. You don't want to play with your eternal destination. So here the word of God is going to tell you, and see, he's setting you up to go the right way. Now you want to be wise, and the wisest thing you could do is to get salvation. If you have not gotten salvation, don't leave this church without it. Don't leave, because the word of God tells you clear, tomorrow is not promised to no one. And then we're going to go to chapter verse 16, and it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Thank you, Jesus. Inspiration of God. Inspiration is referred to supernatural guidance. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Inspiration, a technical term for the Holy Spirit's supernatural guidance of those, thank you, Jesus, those who receive revelation from God as they wrote the book of the Bible. That's what inspiration means. It is a special guidance from God. I'm telling you, if I was supposed to write the Bible, and this is just an assumption, don't stone me. Do you think I would put in things that the Word of God, that is in the Word of God? No. See, a lot of people says, man write the Bible. Yes, of course, it was God used a man's hand and a pen, but the authority behind it was God himself. And until we come to that conclusion and until we understand that, we will always look at the Word of God just like a fiction or a non-fiction book or any other book out there that so many men and women write. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. See, number one, it is given for doctrine. And as I explained to you, for doctrine, it means to tell one what to believe. Doctrine means to tell one what to believe. And remember, if I said earlier that if you're going to believe, believe have to have a content. And if it's God, he has to have a revelation. And the revelation is the Word of God. And when it comes from the Word of God, it brings with it an object. Remember, church, always if it's from God, he has to have a content, and the content has to have an object. And the object has to have an hope. And the hope has to have a purpose. All these things work out, and you might say, Pastor, where are you getting this from? Let's go with me to Romans. I got to take you there so you could see it. Then we come back to this. Hallelujah. The Word of God is so profound. Look at verse Romans chapter 4, verse 20. He said, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He said, Pastor, but what is that talking to me? What is that saying? If you study the context and you study your Bible, you understand that Abraham, you know what's our biggest problem, why we can't get where God has already designed us to be? It's because we stay staggering. We stagger here. We stagger frontward. We stagger backward. We stagger sideward. We staggered anyway. But you see what Abraham did? Abraham staggered not. In other words, he did not go backward, forward, sideward, anywhere he did not go. He made sure that he knew that it was God. And because he staggered not, he understand, or he knew, or he have a revelation of who God is or was. And because this happened to him, he had a content. And that content was the revelation of God. And that content, because it was the revelation of God, brought him also an object. And that object was God himself, because God says, if you read more into that same passage, you're going to find out. No, it is in chapter 15, I think it is. God told him, he says, Abraham, go and leave your country. And I will show you a land. See, God has things for you and I, but too often we don't want to do the things that God is required from us to do. I got to continue, go back to the passage. Because in this passage, he has so much meat. I'm going to read this from my study Bible. He said, faith must have a valid content, revelation of God. Faith must have a valid object. The object of Abraham's faith was God, the giver of the revelation. Faith is contrary to hope and yet rests on hope. This is the hope in which there is no element of uncertainty. Church, when we have the things them that God has already established for us and we could see them, there is no uncertainty. There is nothing in the fiber of our being that we don't believe who God is. Let's go back to 2 Timothy. I'm going to break this down and then I'm going to take you to two more couple passages and then we order here. The doctrine means to tell one what to believe. And to tell one what to believe is that you have to have, you know what the American, they say, right? The proof is in the pudding. Right? That's what many times I hear them say, the proof is in the pudding. Well, many times, sometimes, the thing is that if we don't have the real God, people, we try to witness, but people keep watching us and see us has so much dilemma in our life. Am I saying that we're not going to go through things? No, don't get me wrong. I did not say that. Because there will be persecution, and you know why there is persecution? Because we have an adversary. We have an enemy. Amen? And if he could have tried Jesus, you think he's not going to try us? But that's not the case what I'm talking about. I'm trying to give you a revelation to understand that beside the adversary, you and I could have the victory. We don't have to live mediocrity. We don't have to live sorrowfully. We don't have to live, you serve your God, but where is your God? Thank you, Jesus. Don't let me bring down the Bill family to you when he says, let's test our sacrifice, see which one will light on fire. See, we don't have to go there. Because we already have Jesus Christ, who is our ultimate sacrifice. We have everything, church. The reason why we can't walk in victory is because perhaps we have chosen not to walk in victory. I'm going to go to the next one because I'm going to read all the scripture, then I'm going to break it down for you. He said, all scripture is given in inspiration of God. That is doctrine. He says, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For reproof. Tell us what is wrong. How many times have we done a thing that is wrong? And we still do it. And we know it's wrong. We still do it. I'm not excluded. So I'm not pointing finger on you. But I'm just saying because that's what the Word of God is saying. That's inspiration. The inspiration of God will show us and guide us and lead us and direct us every time. It's a means to tell one what is wrong. In correction. Means to tell one how to correct wrong. In correction. The Word of God is to correct us. In other words, if you're going the wrong way, he's going to tell you how to go the right way. If you're doing the wrong thing, he's going to tell you how to do the right thing. If you're saying the wrong thing, he's going to show you how to say the right thing. But it's a choice. The Word of God says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Hallelujah. He says, the next one is for instruction in righteousness. You know what righteousness is, just by long in a nutshell? And you might try to Figo righteousness. Righteousness, all it is, church, it's right living. Simple, simple word. Righteousness. The righteousness of God. He had given us his righteousness. And what that is saying in small words, he have given us how to live the right way. That's all it is. It sounds like a big word, and it is a big word, righteousness. Because the only person that is really righteous is God, Father, Son, and Spirit. But he came, and our sin was imputed in him, and he given us his righteousness. And that's why we could become his righteousness. Hallelujah. That's why we could become his righteousness. In other words, that's why he empowers us so that we can have right living. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 7 says, why we want to understand the doctrine of inspiration? Verse 17 gives us the answer. He says that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Until we open and sincerely go before and ask God and say to God, God, give me an understanding heart that I may discern and watch God move and mean it. And watch God move and mean it, church, and watch God move. Because, see, too often we are in the way, we get in God's way. Sometimes we need to get out the way and let God, and then we move along with God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to 1 Peter. Hallelujah. Verse 21. I'm not going to do the whole thing. I'll give verse 21 because verse 21 is the meat. He said, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. In other words, prophecy is another word, or prophetically is just like saying a word. When the prophet they came and they spoke, what it was? It was a word. But it was an inspired word of God. Now, am I going to say that every prophecy or every prophet or whatever was inspired? I'm not going to go there. But it left to you to read the Bible, because there is a bunch of prophets and apostles, like the apostles they spoke and the prophet they spoke. But necessarily wasn't every word that was written. But if it was written, then it is an inspired word of God. So I don't want to confuse you either with what I said there just now. Amen? If it is a written word, then it was an inspired word by God. In other words, God authoritated. It was authorized by him through a man using his hand and his pen with a paper or whatever they used to write on then, papyrus or whatever they used to write on. Amen? I need to clarify that. Thank you, Jesus. I want to take you, this could be stretched so far in the church, because watch what he says. He said, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. You're still there with me, right? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. I read it again. So you said, because it is very important from this day forward. I don't know how you've been studying and reading the Word of God, but this is just a stepping stone, church. This is just a stepping stone for many of us as Christians. That the doctrine of inspiration is so important for the Christian to receive from God the things that God has already foreordained or predestined from the foundation of this world. We are not going to have nor get what God has already established for us except God choose to give it to you. And that can happen because I just studied that last week. That when Jesus left and he went to Peter's mother-in-law and he went to the house, he heard that Peter's mother-in-law had fever. And he went and he touched her and the fever. So he chose to do that. It's not like they came. Like the guy with the leper says, I know thou can make me clean. And he says then, thou be clean. Because he understand the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. So he put it to work. He put it to work. And he got answers. But if you go to the one with the mother-in-law, nobody said nothing except Jesus heard that the mother-in-law had fever. Why I'm saying and trying to teach this to us churches, because too often, many times we hear, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got, there is things. The Bible says we have not why, because we ask not. It's not wrong in asking. But I'm telling you, if the will of God, all you got to be doing is doing the right thing. And I'm sure that Peter, mother-in-law, was doing the right thing. And God, just Jesus Christ, just touched her. And she, the Bible says that she got healed instantly. And you know what she did right after that? The word of God says she ministered unto them. See, what is our ministry? What is our ministry? What is your ministry? That's something to think about, huh? I know, I taught you there. What is your ministry to God? Because what your ministry to God is if you are failing in ministering to God, I'm not even going to say that, because that wouldn't sound correct. But ask yourself, church, where are you failing to minister to the Son of God? You figure out your own answer on that. I'm closing, and let's go to, I need to read this for you. Let's go to a couple pages down, and let's go to John. First John. Cash in. The only reason why you are not cashing in is because the Word of God says that you must study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you divide the word of truth, if you divide it like it should be divided, you will have success every time. Not sometime, every time. Because he says, I'm going to show you in a little bit. I want us to go there before I read this for you. Let's go with me to Isaiah. I'm going to read this one passage and I'm going to take you over there to where I'm going to be closing. This is why you could cash in, church. Isaiah, the last verse, verse 17. Chapter 54. You dear church? Amen? He says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Nothing, no weapon shall form against thee shall prosper, church. Nothing. Because God has already given you the victory. And I'm going to close as I read this passage here. And I want you to, I'm going to just read it, church, because the victory is already ours. But you says, Pastor, you showed me and you lead me there, but you got to show me how to do it. Okay, this is how to do it, church. Look what the Word of God says in verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. You can read from the beginning because it tells you about the spirits. I'm going to just read one verse and then I'm going to go to verse 7. Verse 1. He said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of good, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. See, that is our duty also, that we must test the spirit. Now, let's go to verse 7 because I'm getting to close. He says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He said, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Wow. He said, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He who knew no sins became sin for us. Verse 11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we are also to love one another. No man had seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwell in us, and his love is perfected in us. He said, hereby know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he had given us of his spirit. And that's the spirit of where I'm talking about, of inspiration. He says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwell in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God had to us. God is love. Verse 8 tell you that God is love. And now verse 16 is tell you again, God is love. And he that dwelt in love dwelt in God, and God in him. Woo! Hallelujah. Herein our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. That's why you could cash in. I'm not going to give you no more. That's it. Glory to God. There's a lot of meat left, though. Hallelujah. God is good to us. God's been good, and God will continue to be good to us. All he's saying is, say the scripture again. He said, study to show yourself approved. And then he says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Woo. Hallelujah. Acts 4:12 says that. He says, neither is there salvation in any other. So I don't know where you're looking, but if you're not looking to Christ, you're looking in the wrong direction. He says, neither is there salvation in any other. He says, for there is no name given among men that there shall be saved. Only through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He says, behold, all things have passed away. He says, and everything becomes brand new. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned. Romans 6:23 says, but the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. I don't know where you are, but I know who could take you where you need to go. And his name is Jesus. I never like to close without give that invitation. For if you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it is one of the greatest decisions you will ever make in life. I have done it 20-something years ago and I have not regret one second. Thank you, Lord. I don't know what your needs are. You might have a need. I know who could meet those needs. His name is Jesus. I don't know what's plaguing you, church. You know, I tell the church once a time that it's sad sometimes that we say bad things happen to good people. But the answer to that is because we live in a falling and sinful world. That's just why bad things happen to good people. But if you read Isaiah 54:17, he says what? No weapon shall form against you. He says, and even if a tongue rise against you, it's not going to work. You know why? You have already made him the Lord of your life. Whatever your needs are, let's come up and pray with you, for you. I'm going to call on the evangelist to come. Come, evangelist. You have a word for the church as we get ready to close. And if anybody needs prayer, the evangelist is here. Thank you, Jesus. I just get to meet the sister, but she have a spirit, humble spirit, and that's what moves us, what God could use for us. Anybody need prayers? Anybody need prayers? Nobody need prayers? Evangelist?
Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We serve an awesome God. Amen. When we give, we will receive. Sometimes God will give you something, but that means it's for you to bless someone else. Amen. And the word went forth powerful. I thank God for Pastor. I met him and I knew he had a humble spirit, but I didn't get what he was. I knew his faith. But God turned things around that we start minister to each other. We start talking about the goodness of God. And I thank God that God put a man in my life, a pastor that I could work with, that I could talk to, amen? And his beautiful wife when I met her. Oh, we have a great time. That's all I could say in the Lord, amen? But I just want to give a short little testimony before I close for you guys. When the sister were talking about her, about how God heal her body when she have her eye problem. God will come through for you. Come through for me. I was living from paycheck to paycheck, but I still pay my tithes and offering, despite I didn't have no food to eat. And God come through for me for 1 year. I said, Lord, I might not have no food to eat, but I will pay my tithes and offering. I will sow my seed because Jesus gave me his best seed, and that's Jesus Christ. So I said, Lord, you give me your best seed. Why should I give you a dollar or two? I was sold. Whatever I earned, I gave him 10% and above. I didn't hold back of nothing. Watch how God bless me. He sent a sister to tap me on my shoulder and said, God spoke to me and said to bless you with food for 6 months. I have food overflowing in my home, in my closet. I mean in my pantry, in my refrigerator, on the table, on the counter. And only 2 months, I couldn't receive no more food. On top of that, God blessed me with more money on my job. I get more pay. Isn't God awesome? My blessing was overflowing. Huh? When you sow your seed, huh? And when you plant that seed in God's kingdom, huh? God will bless you above and beyond. Huh? No more dry bones, overflowing blessing. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you on today. We praise your holy name. We magnify you on today, Lord. Oh God, we thank you for the word that went forth. Oh God, it went forth with power and might. It went forth, oh God, like you said, your word is like a two-edged sword. Father God, we thank you on this morning, oh God. Bless each and every one of us on this morning, oh God. Oh God, give us traveling grace and mercy as we go home. We leave from this place, but not from your presence. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for the anointed, oh God. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor because you are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you love him, say hallelujah. Glory to his name.
Thank you, sister. May we all go with God and go in peace. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.